95.9 The Fox, Fairfield County Rocks. Good morning, I'm Alan. And coming up Saturday night, Webster Bank Arena in Bridgeport. For the first time ever, we're getting live MMA action with Bellator 225. And the headliner on Saturday night is in the studio with me right now, Matt Mitrione. Matt, how's it going this morning?
What's up, brother? How you doing, man?
Good, good. Thank you for coming in. We're really excited. And your last few fights have actually been in Connecticut over at Mohegan Sun, so this is like a second home for you now.
Honestly, yes, it kind of has. And I'll be honest with you, I think Mohegan's cool, but I'm really happy to get out of it, and I'm happy to see more of Connecticut, because all I've seen is trees and highway, so I'm actually happy to get out. We got to see Yale today, kind of bounce around. A friend of mine had some connections over there, so we've been kind of skirting over there a little bit. He was telling us about that massive gym. Mm-hmm. Apparently, it's like the world's largest gym of some sort.
Yep.
So I think he's going to try to sneak us in there with some of his old flames and kind of get some stuff figured out. Should be fun, man.
Well, we're looking forward to seeing you in action. Would you be using that gym over the next couple of days, or do you have to rest for the next few days? What's the next couple of days going to be like for Matt?
Well, the hay's in the barn. So it's pretty much just rest, recover. But I need to do just enough to get a good sweat, make my body feel like it's alive again. Mm-hmm. But I'll probably be fighting, since I'm obviously the really important guy in the main event. That was tongue in cheek there, but, I'll be fighting probably around 11:30 at night. So I need to do work around that time. So I probably need to go to the gym, start doing some work at, 10:45-ish. And then I work till about midnight.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, that would make sense because, you know, if you worked out at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, then you went to bed, it's like, well, your clock is wrong.
Right. Correct.
So
there's a lot of timing factors that come into play now. It's mostly when to relax, when to rest, when to lay down, when to get up and get active, stuff like that. When to eat. One of the things I don't like to do when I fight is I don't like to have food in my stomach at all. So I don't really eat much on a fight day. So fighting at 11 o'clock, 11:30 means the last time I eat will probably be noon.
Wow.
Something like that.
Seems like a long time. I mean, I guess it obviously, you know what you're going to do, but yeah. Just seems like you would need that fuel.
Well, yeah, but you think about it, like a hungry lion is the lion that eats.
Okay.
So if I have a full satiated belly, I'm not going to be as active or as aggressive as I need to be. At least that's the way my body feels. My mind tells me to feel. So it feels good. I've never really had an issue with it. And the only bad part is after I fight, I usually win, thank goodness, right? after I win this one, I don't typically calm down. Like the adrenal system kind of takes a day or two to calm down. And so eating isn't really high on my list. Drinking alcohol is really not that high on my list either.
Naturally.
But then like sleeping isn't either. My body just takes a little while to kind of wind down. So the flight home, the drive to the airport, the flight, I'm tired and all, but it's just, I'm not able to relax yet. Takes a couple of days.
What time will you get to the arena on Saturday? Do you get there at noon or do you get there just like
no
right
way,
before?
Brother. Yeah. We probably, like I said, 11 o'clock is my fight time. I'll probably report at 9 o'clock.
Okay.
PM. And so like that whole day, you just kind of lay around, you rest, you stretch. People that came in to watch the fight, your family, your friends, come into the room, hang out for a little bit, and then it's time for them to get out so you can kind of take your nap, do whatever your pregame rituals are, and relax a little bit.
How did you get your start in MMA? Because I know you went to Purdue, you played football, you mm-hmm. played for the Giants, but I know you had a few injuries. Is that what led to MMA?
Well, kind of, sort of, indirectly, yeah. I played football at Purdue, played in the NFL, broke my foot, had a handful of surgeries, was active again with the Vikings after the Giants, and then football was done with me after that. I just wasn't the same as I used to be. And then I started the company. And then I started the sports nutrition company, and it was a post-workout formulation. And so we formulated it and then manufactured it, and that fell into the hands of a guy named Jason Worth, who played baseball for the Nationals.
Yep.
And the Phillies, and I think the Mariners as well, but and the Dodgers. My product fell into his hands. He liked it, kind of advertised us for free, and asked me to jump into an amateur MMA show for him back in our mutual hometown of Springfield, Illinois. So I couldn't really tell him no. I said yes, started training, never trained a day of wrestling or fighting in my life, and got injured, missed that fight, but kept training because I was friends with the guys. Mm-hmm. And then 6 months later, I get a phone call from the UFC saying, hey, we're doing an episode of The Ultimate Fighter mm-hmm. With heavyweights on it. And we hear you're obnoxious and athletic, so why don't you come on out and be obnoxious for us? And that's pretty much what it was. So my first fight ever was on The Ultimate Fighter against a dude who had already fought in K1 in the UFC.
Wow.
So baptism by fire. And I only accepted the opportunity because I wanted to go on The Ultimate Fighter to propagate or promote my supplement company.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. All I wanted to do was have national advertisement that I couldn't afford at the time to be seen, have my product be seen on TV. And that was it. And 10 years later, here I am still getting punched in the face.
Unreal. Matt Mitrione, Bellator 225. It's this Saturday night at Webster Bank Arena in Bridgeport. Tickets are available at Ticketmaster.com. So you were never interested in like maybe either WWE after football or boxing. It was really from Jason Wirth. He kind of just got you into it.
Yeah, Wirth is completely responsible for my career. Completely. I'm not a wrestling guy. I'm not. I'm a ham and I eat up the spotlight, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm at a point now where, well, I guess I was kind of always at a point where I didn't really want to be an actor. I didn't want to be that guy. It's just my personality and my obnoxious, brash behavior kind of put me in that position. But I've always been a team competitor type of guy. I love the sport of football. I love that game. But I never imagined that this would be my life or my career.
When you stepped into that octagon for the first time, obviously this was a guy who had at least, I don't know how many fights he would have had prior, but this was your first time.
Yeah.
What was that like, that experience? You can even put it into words.
Yeah, it's a real come to Jesus moment kind of a thing, man. It's like you're in the cage and you realize like on the walk in, you realize like everything's going to be different right now. Like you're quite genuinely fighting for your life. And if you're not on your guard, something's not going to go very well. And I remember walking in, and I remember when they closed it, and there were only like 10 people in the room because it was the Ultimate Fighter.
Yeah. It wasn't in an arena. It was just in the gym.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And, I remember being like, well, this is it. You know, like there's really nothing you can do about it. But I've been in small, like regional shows
mm-hmm.
where I've actually seen the people get into the cage, they close the door, and the dude will tap on the wall, be like, I don't want to be here. Get me out. I don't want to do this. So I've seen people like that moment have absolutely collapsed. I also have people that are incredible in the gym that are some world beaters, like mm-hmm. absolutely incredible. And then once it comes down to fight day, they don't show up at all. Like they don't even show up to the arena. They don't show up to the bar where the fight's going to be at. They just disappear. They don't show up at all. They just can't do it. And, there's a couple of pros like that they've gotten to a certain point, and once the bright and heat of the lights get on them in a major show, they just disappear.
You've had 20 professional fights. Do you have an all-time favorite in your mind?
Yeah, the ones I win.
Most of them.
The ones where the check doesn't bounce. You know, those are good. That's the reason why I'm really fortunate, right? Like my first fight ever was in the UFC, and then I went from the UFC. I was a free agent. I got cherry picked over to Bellator, and I've never had a check bounce. The people that write those checks, they don't bounce checks. So I'm in a really fortunate spot. Well, there's been so many other people that have had to fight on smaller cards.
Mm-hmm.
We're like, oh yeah, we'll cut you a check right after this, and then the promoter skips town, and there's no money to be had. And that happens often.
We're chatting with Matt Mitrione, Bellator 225. It's this Saturday night, Webster Bank Arena in Bridgeport. Now, Saturday night, you're the main event. You're going to go on, as you said, around 11 o'clock. Now, this is a rematch.
Hmm.
They're calling it Mitrione Karatanov 2, but it's really sort of 0.5.
Yeah.
Things didn't go quite so well last time.
Yeah, not really awesome. First of all, Karatanov is an incredibly capable opponent. He's fought in Pride. He's fought some of the best in the world. His record is out of this world, and he only has like 6 losses out of 50 fights. I mean, he's a really, really tough dude. He's a stoic, stereotypical Russian, emotionless, was a medaled boxer back in Russia, has a great jab, has a great rear-handed uppercut. He fights right-handed, so a right-handed uppercut, and a really good straight right. And he threw a couple body jabs at me where he kind of had to lower his level, and I threw a low inside kick to kick the inside of his thigh to kind of offset his base. And kicked him square in his nuts, man.
Oh, man.
But I didn't expect it. But the reaction was really gif and meme gold. I mean, it was incredible. We were in the cage, and he was on the floor, and he's like, oh, he's screaming, he's yelling in Russian, you know? And he's like, in English, he was like, my, because he had to talk to the commission people, the doctor that came in. And he's like, my testicle, it's squishy. He popped it. And I was like, I felt so bad, you know. I was like, dude, I'm so sorry. I knelt down, I talked to him for a second. He knew it was on accident, and then later on, he was back in the hotel, And he went to the hospital the next day. Mm-hmm. And apparently, from what they say, that I kicked him so hard in the nuts that I popped the hemorrhoid out of the other end.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a lot of internal pressure. I didn't know that could happen. But apparently that's the rumor. That's the word.
Well, you didn't know it could happen because nobody wants that to happen.
Yeah. You know, it was funny. I get so many people like, look, dude, he's gonna aim straight for your nuts. You know, that's what's going to happen. Well, I guess there was actually a fight. A guy named Josh Barnett that Bellator has on roster now that fought a dude in Japan, I think in Pride. And he kicked dude in his nuts in the fight, and the dude ended up losing, right? Not direct result because of the nuts, but could have had to have a result.
Sure.
And after the fight, Josh, like at the interview, I believe, was like, hey, dude, I kicked you in your nuts. Come get this and let dude kick him in his nuts to square it up.
Wow.
Crazy stories, man. Back in the Wild West.
Well, I hope for your sake, he doesn't go for a reprisal immediately
for
in 15
sure.
seconds.
Well, I hope not.
Well, we're looking forward to a great fight on Saturday night. Did you get it? Have you spoken to him at all afterwards? I know you apologize. It certainly was an accident. Did he say like, yeah, like it happens or?
No, through social media. You know, I was like, look, man, I'm sorry. If we can get this thing done, I promise I won't kick in your nuts again. And he responded in kind. You know, it was a jovial, fun mix. I think the good part about our career or our chosen profession is that not many of us are douches, right? Like not many of us are guys that you don't want to be around.
Sure.
Most everybody's pretty cool. It's a very humbling sport. So once you get pretty big for your britches or you come off as that, or you are that arrogant, brash fella that nobody really gets the vibe from, you'll run yourself out or get washed out pretty quickly. So most of the time,
because I would imagine nobody would want to fight you. Like, why would I fight this guy unless I wanted to shut him up or something?
Yeah, but it's business, man. It's all about the paycheck, right? There's really not a lot of emotion involved in it. It's just the job. So you go in there. That's why most of the time you go in, you fight each other, and you go drink beers together afterwards. I mean, it is what it is. But the it's a cool career like that too. Like where it really is. It's a lot of instant karma, and it's a very instant humbling sport.
Well, it's a night of heavyweights on Saturday night at Webster Bank Arena in Bridgeport. Four of the five main card fights are heavyweights, and of course, Matt is going to be the headliner. We actually have a few Connecticut fighters. Nick Newell from Milford, he actually stopped by the radio station the other day. Mike Kimball from Waterbury there on the undercard. And I know you said your family, are they coming to town? You got a couple of kids, and are they all going to come watch the fight? Or are they at home back in, I think you're from Indiana?
Yeah, yes, sir. Yes, sir. No, man, I don't let my loved ones come to fights. I have extended family that comes. I have a bunch of idiot friends from home, from football, that come along and act foolish. But wife, kids, no dice, brother.
Do you allow them to watch it on TV, or do you block that channel?
No, they can watch it on TV because they can change the channel, but they never do, right? Even if I lose or if I get poked in the eyes or whatever else, like they still watch it. They cry. They get upset about it, which sucks. And I wish they didn't have to do it, but they enjoy it. I think they get the thrill out of seeing the competition, and I win significantly more often than I lose, so they're pretty happy with the result most of the time.
Well, for their sake and for yours, I hope you win on Saturday night. It's Matt Mitrione, Sergey Karatanov, 2 at Webster Bank Arena in Bridgeport, Bellator MMA 225, Saturday night. Tickets available, Ticketmaster.com. Matt, thanks for spending a few minutes with us.
Hey, thanks a lot, brother. Appreciate the invite.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.